Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively into big week around here. The one is, Luke said, we've been waiting all year for this one. We'll say that again next week if we win this week. But Luke will be monitoring all things going on in Owings Mills. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road the day after the parade. It'll be February 12th. We're going to be up at Libs Grill in Harford County. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Between the snowflakes and between the football and the Pittsburgh beatdown and rooting for the Denver Broncos, as it turns out, we wouldn't want it any other way. We're going up to Buffalo right now where the wings are good, the weather's bad, and the spirits are high. This guy's been there a long time. He is in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. He has covered football from here to there and everywhere. And Rob Gronkowski, we went through all of that back in week four. Before these teams met each other. Vic Carucci's been our friend. He's also one of my favorite survivors. My wife sends her best to you up in Buffalo, where I'm sure it's balmy here this time of year. I guess I've been to a lot of big games. I've talked all this week about being there for the Art Shell, Jay Schrader, 51-3 beatdown. The first time they ever went to the Super Bowl, where Sig and I were in the stands behind the one end zone with K-Gun offense, Andre Reed, all of that. All these years later, you guys still haven't had the parade. We've had two parades. We didn't have a franchise back in the 80s when all that was going on. But I sense that the smell is there, the taste is there, the feel is there. And, you know, quite frankly, beating Lamar Jackson was always going to have to be on the docket, Vic.
It's really interesting. And by the way, always a pleasure to join you, and the very best to your wife, too. Always think about her and her survival journey, as with mine. But I'll say this. Nestor, that it is this year, unlike those, and your recounting of that is spot on, but it felt different to me being part of both of those from a, you know, from a media perspective. What we were writing about, what the narrative was then, was this dominant team that you felt watching them were unstoppable. And of course, in the course of four consecutive years, they were unstoppable until they got to that final game, which was the Super Bowl, and then got stopped. This team, the difference to me is the expectation far different. When we were talking earlier in the season before the first meeting of these teams, if you and I were talking before the season, it would have been more modest than what has occurred. Not a 13-win season in terms of how I saw it and how many others saw it. I saw this as a step back year, not a step out year, out of the picture, but just back, because they had made those changes, because you'd moved on from your top two receivers and especially Stephon Diggs, because the offensive line had two changes at center and at guard, where Connor McGovern moving from guard to replace Mitch Morse, who is now in Jacksonville at center. And because of the changes in the back end, the safety position, no longer the Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer duo, change at corner, and a lot of moving parts in terms of who would really be there to kind of fortify the back end. And then still questions about the pass rush or lack thereof. And then here we are, 13 wins. Here we are at the divisional round of the playoffs. So they've exceeded expectation, at least from the outside. Obviously, that conversation is probably very different internally, but I would submit that this team is really good, deserving of consideration to be a team that you could possibly see playing in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. However, could they be just a tad ahead of the schedule to get there? And there's part of me that still thinks the better version of the Buffalo Bills is the one that will take the field in 2025 or for that season versus the one from the 2024 season.
That's interesting that you would say that, because, I mean, the Ravens have been felt like they've been built to win since Lamar, you know, shot out of a cannon in 19, not even 18, but in 19, they were so dominant until Derrick Henry came in and took their lunch money. And it is fascinating that these offseason, because I sit here and talk about the Orioles too, you know, whether they're diminished, are they on the up or are they on the down, right? And we're in that offseason now, we're like, oh, they lost Burns, and like, what, you know, what are they doing? And we feel that way with the Ravens every offseason. And two off seasons ago, it was Lamar and money and free agency and just, were the Colts going to try to pluck him or something like that? And this is two times now this kid has gone out. Nobody really wanted him or wanted to make a space for him. And he's been the best quarterback in the league, Josh Allen. We'll get it. I'll let you do your MVP thing with me in a minute. But I think in the offseason, it felt like from the Ravens' perspective of being the one seed that failed, that they lost all their defensive coaches. They decided to blow up the right side of the offensive line with Zeitler and Morgan Moses. And it felt like they were going to be a diminished team. Patrick Queen, just all the loss, the guys they lost, right? I mean, Clowney, right? It felt like they're going to be a little diminished. And I guess they have been. They only won 12 games this year, right? But the part where the Bills were diminished in the offseason by Diggs and stuff, the Bills were widely thought to be a diminished team, right? I mean, and it turned out that they haven't been and they're not. But it felt like in week four when the Ravens ran them over after you and I talked about Rob Gronkowski growing up in your neighborhood, we did all the Buffalo stuff that we did. And please, anybody wants to go back and learn, because I could do a half an hour just on Vic and 40 years and voting for Hall of Fame, just all the stuff that you've been a part of. But in the case of this team, week four, the Ravens really slobber knocked them. And it really made you think, like, well, maybe they're a 9-8 or an 8-9 or a 10. It's a, maybe they are the diminished Bills, but it certainly feels like that maybe awakened them a little bit. And they were diminished defensively. They have players that are going to be on the field this week that weren't a part of that in week four.
Right. Look, everything you're saying is correct in terms of what the thought process was versus maybe what it is. And the biggest point of all of the exceed, if indeed it's exceeding expectation, I think it's a fair thing to say about this Bills team. It's one guy. It's Josh Allen. It's what he can do to elevate everybody around him. And by everybody, I'm not just talking about offense, but especially what he has done with this revamped receiving core, with a group that is so widespread in terms of who gets the ball and who's involved week to week. And you really don't see a quote number one player. You just see a variety of people who get to chip in, and that includes the backs. And you also see with Joe Brady running this offense fully for the first, I mean, for a first full season after taking over midway through last year for Ken Dorsey, a greater commitment to the run, a greater commitment to balance on offense. And you saw this against Denver, a team that is kind of small up front. And yes, they get their strength is blitzing and getting pressure on the quarterback. And what do you do with that? You run right into it. And James Cook certainly did in this offensive line. Own that line of scrimmage. They own the time of possession was like just an overwhelming like 41 to 18 minutes. It was incredible. The Bills only punted once. The Broncos punted four times. It was that kind of disparity that tells you how many different ways they are able to succeed offensively. But the common denominator is Josh Allen, feeding this group of receivers, doing what he can do, running the ball himself. And how that feeds into the strength of the run game as well. An offensive line that gave up only 14 sacks. They gave up two against Denver, which came in with 63 and led the league, but they really controlled that too. Josh was unaffected by the pass rush. So his ability to find extra receivers, his better decision making, less of the hero ball stuff that I think had worked to his detriment. Earlier on, he's a growing, maturing quarterback, as we can say for Lamar Jackson for sure. And I think that is why we find this team at 13 wins, why there is an overarching sense of confidence that this is the right roster as it's put together to actually do better than what it was doing in at a time when it was Allen to Diggs. And not to disparage that at all, because that was amazing. And people were enthralled with the idea of that duo carrying this team the distance. And they almost did. They almost did. They got to the AFC Championship game. They got to divisional round games. But what puts you over the top? Now, if there is a concern, and I know we can get into this when we start talking about the matchup with the Ravens, part two here of this season. It's the defense. It is a unit that struggles. I don't think it's gotten any better against the run than it was in that early game at M&T Bank
Well, that's
Stadium.
problematic, Vic.
And Denver, and I'll add this, Denver, Nestor doesn't have a running game. And that can't be forgotten in terms of how that game went.
Well, you talk about defensively and the problems, and I'll come back to Lamar and Josh Allen and what they do and how Derrick Henry has changed everything here. And I don't want to play the role of Kreskin. I've been at this a long time, and I'll probably never be a Hall of Fame voter like you, although I'm on the short list here in Baltimore of seeing more football than anybody. The Derrick Henry thing's unbelievable because for two trading deadlines, I have openly said, because they traded for Roquan Smith around here. They make those kind of deals at the trading deadline. So it's not outside of the realm to think that, they traded for Eugene Monroe in the middle of the season, who was a lottery pick and a, big offensive line that they could have dealt for Derrick Henry if they wanted to give up too much, maybe at that point. And I made the case that he would have changed them. Now, Lamar was injured 2 years ago, different, but last year specifically, in the way that they didn't run the ball against Kansas City, they didn't play in the first round because of the bye last year, that their running game lacked that, and they would always go back to Lamar, 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 which they did against Pittsburgh. He ran the ball 10 times in the first quarter in this playoff game. So they're not against that part of it, but there's something about Derrick Henry. And by the way, Vic Carucci is up in Buffalo. He is our resident Hall of Fame voter and a Buffalo resident, a Buffalonian, I believe is what they're called up there. Derrick Henry to me about 3, 4 weeks ago. By the way, I have an Oiler Derrick Henry jersey I've been wearing when I'm not wearing my Curio O purple jersey here, but I've been wearing it all week because it's fun. I'm an old Oiler fan. And I said, if Art Modell came back and I had 5 minutes with him and said, the Ravens have a running back. He's this big guy. He's unbelievable. And I hear Art saying, who's he remind you of? I'd say, Art, Jim Brown. There's never been another Jim Brown. You know that, Vic. I've been on the radio 33 years, Vic. I've never compared anybody to Jim Brown. That, you know what I mean?
That conversation, so just to insert this because it's so funny you mentioned that, a longtime friend and I were watching the Ravens Steelers game, had him and his wife over for dinner, and then we settled in, watched the game, and he is rabid, I mean, Bills and Sabres season ticket holder, and a very as knowledgeable a sports fan as you're going to get, especially Buffalo sports. And as we watched that game, and he and I are about the same age, we invoked Jim Brown's name as we watched Derrick
Right?
Henry. It was easy,
It's
and I
first time
saw
in your life, probably. First time
it
since
was
Jim Brown, probably.
right when you see someone who looks like he's just more of an adult, more of a man
I
than who is around him trying.
called it fast times at Ridgemont High. Remember that? When the guy just ran everybody over.
Swatting people away. That the law and you know just. And then the close-ups when you see Derek's arms, and not just the definition, but the length and how those stiff arms just can really devastate. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick, to hit him and make him fly through
That was
the
a
air with
Hall
a
of Fame.
run,
You,
that
when
that
he's up, you'll just
yes.
put that on and sit down, right? Like there won't. I mean, I can't. But he doesn't have a ring,
Right,
right?
right.
So now we're 3 weeks out, and what, Vic? This road, and I said, look, I'm not writing Purple Rain 3. You can ask Eric DaCosta about that. But I wrote Purple Rain 1, Purple Rain 2. I keep joking with Luke. I'm like, when you write Purple Rain 3 about this, the acquisition of Derrick Henry and the thought of this beast of an offense where you have these two elite greatest to ever do it together. And I started to think, and I think about these things in the shower because it's what we think about, music's playing. And I'm thinking, I'm having Vic Carucci on this week. Last week I had Clark Judge on. At some point I'll find Balls or I'll find all of you and bring all of you on to talk about this Hall of Fame process as it refers to Steve Smith and Marshall Yanda and Terrell Suggs, who's also up, and your vote on all of this. But I'm thinking, like, there was Staubach and Dorsett. There was Franco Harris and Terry Pratchett. There was Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. So I'm thinking about these 1-2 punch. OJ didn't have that, right? Yeah, Ferguson, right? But that part of that running back Earl Campbell had Pastorini, fine, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer, and Dan would be the first to admit that. This thing's different in where it is and where
Very,
Derrick Henry is. And the
very.
perception, to your point, that everybody thought the Bills were falling apart in the offseason, nobody thought when they signed Derrick, well, they're going to win the Super Bowl because they had lost the offense. Because we all know it's about more than one player or one addition in football. But
And
this is pretty up there. And if they climb this mountain, winning in Buffalo, winning in Kansas City, and doing it with this running game, with this quarterback who's in the Hall of Awesomeness, this is a weird, this is a great story, what's
this
happening
is
to
the
Baltimore if they win.
difference, Nestor. This is the difference in the discussion because it's not as simple. And I thought this was how it was boiled down from a Baltimore perspective. It's not as simple as saying you need to add a great or really high level running back to make the difference. It's you need to add an ingredient and then have the and this is where Todd Monken comes in, of course, and John Harbaugh, the understanding from a schematic standpoint of how he and Lamar work together. And this is what makes it so potent. Derrick Henry alone, just pounding away and wearing down a defense and running, those big chunk runs or consistent runs of the 5 yard plus variety average would be significant, would be helpful to winning. But you combine that with a quarterback who is an absolute freak in his ability to buy time. Decide while he is doing that dance that he can do, that only he can do. I mean, I think Josh Allen is a great mobile quarterback whose running is a weapon and a half, and will be felt. That'll be something the Ravens, of course, are going to have to deal with, and every team's going to have to deal with. But it's different than what Lamar does in that up front, back, side angle thing that he can, he's got this sixth sense to do. And how that works with the running game of Derrick Henry, that he then when Lamar pulls it down and goes and has that sudden explosiveness where you think he's gliding, he doesn't even look like he's running. It's that glide, right, that you guys know so well about. You've watched it, but it's still every time I watch it, I'm amazed. And then I see as a defense, what are you supposed to be ready for on the next snap? Because it could be that. It could be Derek on the inside. And then, let's not discount Hill. Let's not discount the screen that he can throw, the darts that he can throw that all weave into this. And ultimately, we back to what we were saying about Buffalo's offense, how it has evolved. It went from Josh, big arm, throw it deep and hit Stephon Diggs, which was dangerous enough. But now it is those types of play, the screens, the intermediate throws, the opportunities to attack a defense in layers and then eventually set up maybe a bigger throw. But it's not bombs away. He had one big 50-yard throw against Denver, and that was to Curtis Samuel for his first playoff touchdown. But other than that, it wasn't a bombs away attack. And the Ravens are not a bombs away team, even though they have the capacity to do it.
Vic Carucci's our guest. You can hear him out on Sirius. Find him anywhere out on the internet. And every time I get guys like you together, I don't be too respectful because I'm 56 now. I'm getting to be a little older. I've been at this 4 decades myself. All of you are like in the halls of justice for me when I come to you and start talking about Hall of Fame and things and comparisons, which John Harbaugh hates comparisons. I mean, that's life. That's chocolate and vanilla, right, for me. And it's what I've done for 34 years here, saying, what would I prefer? And I don't know about the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson MVP argument or what makes a player more valuable, but I want to ask you just from your, we've been hearing MVP, MVP. You were always one of those guys I read when I was a kid who was voting on all of that and football digesting and sporting news and all of the senior writers that are now on Peter King, all these people that vote on the Hall of Fame. I look at all of you and say, comparing and contrasting, Josh Allen was compared to John Elway the other day, and I thought, maybe more some Elway and some Favre, built in there, and some sort of linebacker way to maybe want to run you over. But when I think about this valuable thing, what is valuable? I'm not all that interested in the argument, and I don't participate in taking phone calls the way we used to back in the day. And somebody's going to lose on Monday, and it won't matter who's the most valuable player. The one that lost won't feel very valuable on Monday because they're both not going to move on in the tournament. But what is a valuable player to you? And you had a vote. Where do you vote, Vic?
Yeah, well, first of all, yes, the vote and the voting is in. The hay is in the barn, of course, for that, because it is a want to repeat this for those who don't still, I'm not entirely sure understand it. It is a regular season award based only on the regular season body of work. And we voted, our ballots were due this past Wednesday. So that's done.
When does that
The
get
announcement.
announced at the honors? Does
The
it?
announcement will be February 6th at the Honors.
So it happened.
Now,
Okay, right. Got
we
it. They.
voted on the Pro Bowl,
That's how little I care
the
about it.
All
Is that
Pro.
I've been at the Super Bowl 20 years. They started doing it that way instead of just giving a press release, right? Like, okay.
So we voted, same voting panel voted on All Pro, AP All Pro, this past Monday. And then, of course, that announcement came out Friday, and you learned that Lamar was the first team quarterback, Josh, the second team quarterback. And of course, all politics are local. So as was said by the Tip O'Neill, the great late Speaker of the House, all politics is local. And for the fan bases, you're not going to sell the idea of one guy being better than the other, because if it's not their guy, it's wrong. And I fully embrace that. That's what fandom is all about. And we are admonished by the AP. Let me just put in this disclaimer that we cannot reveal our. I can reveal my voting for All Pro because that's been announced. We cannot reveal our voting for the individual awards besides MVP. All of those will be announced on February 6th until they are revealed in that honor show. So I'm not giving you that vote, but I will tell you that for All Pro, I actually did have Josh Allen as my first team ballot guy. Lamar is my second team ballot guy. It reversed in terms of the larger voting, and 30, I think Lamar got 30 first team votes. Josh got 18, I believe the number was 18 or 15, something like that. 18, I think it was. And I was one of those who gave him a first team vote. I know history says that only two players, two quarterbacks who've gotten second team All Pro or weren't first team All Pro, won the MVP. So it would, if history says anything, it doesn't bode well for Josh to be the MVP. But you asked a question about what determines value. And this is my answer. It's bigger, Nestor, than the numbers. And Lamar's numbers are great. And Lamar is as deserving as anyone to be the MVP of the league. And if he didn't get it, it doesn't mean he was less deserving. It just means he didn't get the votes in this particular and very subjective opinions of 50 voters. That's all it is. Majority of 50 voters.
And I don't think any of them would have the exact same definition as to what most
Oh,
valuable player would
it
even
is.
be, right?
So I define it as, I start with don't, I mean, if it's as simple as stats, then you don't need humans to vote for it. Just put the stats out there and rank them accordingly. I think it's a bigger discussion than that. I think it's what you see, what a player does in terms of the big picture of, as I laid out with the Bills, the team that was stepping back with its, various changes, and how, what was his role in allowing them to not just overcome the changes, but to elevate, to be a better team, to be a 13-win team, which is, something they hadn't been in a long time, and put them in this position of entering the postseason as the number two seed, which is also a big deal. And to where they didn't have to play, he didn't have to play in the last game, and they could get sort of a quasi bye against New England in their season finale, which is helpful when you consider the Kansas City Chiefs had to. Excuse me, didn't have to, and has had almost two, it'll effectively be almost a 3 week stretch of rest before they play their game. That may also work against them. But the Ravens, right down to the wire, had to play and did to win the division and to get the third seed. I say that there is no way the Ravens would be as good as they are without Lamar. But yes, Derrick Henry is probably the headline of the story, I think.
Sort of
And
penalizing Lamar a little bit, but not. I mean, because.
it's a bigger story now in the postseason, which again has nothing to do with our voting. But what was the narrative about the postseason? Didn't run enough. Didn't put enough commitment to that. And we presume, and if the Pittsburgh game was any indication, that's going to be different. And I believe that is their best path to success. They still got to be able to throw it, and they need those, they need Andrews, they need likely, they need all those targets to be what they are. But I also think that the value to the team can be measured in more ways than numbers. And this was the other thing that I understand, because what we do for a living, what others do at ESPN and all the other talking head outlets, they need fodder, they need content. This MVP discussion became great fodder, became great content, and it
It
got
always is when it's not obvious, right?
right. And people went back and forth on it on almost on a daily basis, and that meant nothing to me, because I never saw it, Nestor. It's not a weekly award, and the opinions would always be based on what happened that week, what recency bias, and you got to block that out when you're trying to vote on this.
Vic Carucci's here. He votes on a lot of things, including the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right, two things left. Tackling Derrick Henry, something the Steelers didn't want to do last week, something that the Bills didn't do very well the first time around. Make the case for me that they can slow it down, neutralize it, force turnovers, do the kinds of things that they're going to need to do in a game that I'm assuming is going to be a short possession game, and a game that if in my wisdom, this game is about, are the Ravens going to be in second and two all night? If it is, it's going to be 35 to 10 again. And if they're not, what happens when fourth and two happens in the sweet spot between, let's say, the 18 and the 40? Are you kicking field goals on fourth and two, fourth and three, fourth and four? Are you staying on the field? Are you trying to get 3 points? Because that three versus six sacrifice and that question of it's fourth and something manageable, we're on the 20 something. I don't know that the Ravens love the kicker anymore. And I don't know that I mean, yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame and you can vote on, that's another name for you, Vic. You can vote on Justin Tucker later on in life. But there is a point where scoring touchdowns is going to be paramount on Sunday, and you can't do
Yeah.
that by kicking field goals or by cheapening out on fourth down and punting the ball away in midfield.
No, first of all, I love how you broke that down. Yeah, if they're in those second or third and manageables throughout, they being the Ravens, because of how they can run the football, you're right. That could be game set match. That's probably the and that if you're asking John Harbaugh and everybody in Baltimore on that team, what is the ideal scenario? That's it, because it would be effectively a replay of the earlier game. A couple of things. I'm not sure that the Bills are any more equipped to play the run better this time around. Yes, Matt Milano is back and in the lineup. Yes, they've got other people that are healthy or who didn't either finish that game or were, hurt beforehand in the lineup. But they haven't shown me any ability to consistently shut things down up front. The issue is at the line of scrimmage, and I don't see that. I see more penetrator, quick kind of guys. I don't see enough beef that really slows it down. And in terms of their defensive style, that's what they want. They believe affecting the quarterback is more important than beefing up to stop the run, and they built their roster accordingly. And I think that could be a big problem because of the anomaly that they have here. They don't face this kind of, who does on a regular basis? Nobody. Okay. They don't face it in their division, really. They don't face, the teams that they play twice a year, and they really didn't face it on their schedule. But this is what stands out to me, because this is where the recreation of the game could, of the setting could be. Sunday night football, San Francisco 49ers come to Highmark Stadium. It's snowing. It's miserable, at least if you're outside, although the fans were loving it because the Bills were, it was a rout and they got it going. But before that rout got going, Christian McCaffrey suffers the second season-ending injury of his career, knee, I believe it was then. He had coming off the Achilles, right? Now he's got a knee, and he leaves the game. He was having success. They were starting to get rolling with their run game, and the Bills defense had no answer for it. But he leaves the game. The game changes. I don't know if that would have changed the outcome, but I doubt it would have been as lopsided as it ended up being. I took note of that, and I pointed it out afterward. I said, be happy, celebrate. The Bills, did the job. And we know the 49ers aren't the 49ers team that they had been. Still, that was noteworthy. This could be different. First of all, this won't be different in terms of snow. The forecast is calling for that. Is that a good thing from a traction standpoint, footing? Your equipment staff of the Ravens,
Lamar's not going to like snow.
Lamar won't like the snow. And equipment staffs with cleats and such, because offensive guys know where they're going, the defensive guys don't. So that's part and parcel to how this should work. And if the snow is a problem for anybody, then that is a factor. And it may not always be the Bills, just because they play here doesn't necessarily mean they love snow any better than anybody
Yeah, the
else.
ball squirts out no matter what, right?
So
It's a
keep
great
that.
equalizer for mistakes, and it's the equalizer for both teams, I think,
So if they're
really.
running in this well, they being again Ravens, that's something to look at. Meanwhile, the Bills have a running game too. And the Raven defense, and this is, you asked me what else would be different. I think, and where I didn't, where I was surprised, because it wasn't a weather issue, it was just a game control issue, how the Bills didn't find their way to take advantage of that Raven secondary, which I think is the vulnerability is high. And to your point, I guess I didn't answer your question about what do you do when field goal is an option. If you're kicking field goals in this game, I think for either team, it's a mistake. This is the gotta score game, because the not unlike Mike Tomlin's very controversial and a decision that has people wanting him fired. I think going for it on fourth down and keeping that opportunity to get in the end zone is much more important in a game like this, where it could very well be high scoring.
Got to make a play on Sunday night. It is AFC divisional game and up in Buffalo. Weather conditions. Vic Carucci, last point, because you are the Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, got to just give it to you and Suggs, Yonda, and Steve Smith. Where are they in the pecking order? I had Clark on last week. I mean, Hines Ward falling off crazy. I had a Leonard Raskin, who does a segment with me every week. We got into it about 2 weeks ago. So he was asking me about it, as the veteran sage Baltimore guy and all that. And I'm like, for me, Jared Allen, I thought was in. I thought Hines Ward should have been in. Darren Woodson, my God, he should have been in 20 years ago. So I'm an old guy in that way. Willie Anderson's a guy that when he came here the last 5 minutes of his career, it was sort of like he's going to the Hall of Fame, right? Right? Well, we're 2 decades later. And this propensity putting wide receivers in. Torrey Holt, who I've thought is also a guy. I always dreamed as a kid of having your job and Scott Garceau's gig, and I've been in line to do it until the things fell apart here with the Ravens. But what a tough gig you got. I mean, I have often thought, if y'all called me and said, "You're worthy, we'll put you on the committee," I think that's a lot. I mean, what you guys do, it's not as clear-cut and fun as it is taking phone calls and playing that game. I've seen all of you sweat this out. So many of you believe Art Modell should be in and he's not in. And then I bring you fresh faces and say, pick one, Suggs, Yonder, or Steve Smith. And some people say, well, Steve Smith played in Carolina. How does he get any traction? I'm like, it doesn't really work that way. No, there's no provincialism in your room, even though the Art Modell thing's a head scratcher for me. But I just really respect the work you do, how much effort all of you put into it, far beyond taking sports radio calls on behalf of their
Well,
candidate of choice.
I will say this, Nestor, and again, appreciate your words on that. It is an awesome responsibility. There is no de denying that. And it's also one that I relish, one that I love having and am honored to have and cherish every year
That's why I do it. If you ask me to do it, I'm like, me?
this is a,
Okay, but I'd be like,
no,
I
it's
know
not
what
a,
I'm signing up for. It's not a
right.
game.
It's not a, I don't look at it as as a burden at all, even though, there is a weight, a heavy weight in terms on your shoulders because of the lives you affect beyond the person. And of course, when that, if that person is deceased, the families that are affected by it and how much it means to them. And again, I've witnessed this, I've been part of this where it's a family support situation, how big that is. You mentioned about the, and I'm so still in disbelief to be part of the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, but how much that was a family, a family uniting and friends uniting behind the whole idea of it, and being probably feeling happier about it than even I did, and I was over the moon. But the point is, if you don't share it with somebody, it doesn't matter. And I say that to all of these candidates, whatever the Hall of Fame is, and this is, of course, as ultimate as we can get in our sport and our game of football. So what it means to be a candidate and the angst and the anxiety over will it happen? I will get my worst night of sleep before the vote because of all that I just mentioned, what it means.
And
But
you really don't know who's going. That's the other part is,
I won't know
tell me who's going in.
when
And
it's all
you don't
said
even
and
want to tell
done.
me who you're voting for because you might not even know because the whole point is to listen to the candidacy, right?
I read, so we get all kinds of research, and I have it, and I mean it's stacked.
That's what I'm saying. It's a
It's
real
digital. It's
commitment.
digital. It's digital. So it's, but if you printed it out, but I leave myself with an open mind to hear. This is why we talk for 9 hours, debate in some cases. It can get hot and heavy, but really it's pretty civil. We respect each other and we listen to each other. And that's the key. If you go into it listening, and you are very likely to hear some things that will impact your thoughts and change your mind one way or the other on a particular candidate. Going in, and this isn't one of those years really where you go in knowing that somebody's such a slam dunk, you don't need to hear a conversation. There will be those years that you have that, and we've had those years, and they're forthcoming when the name is just mentioned, and then you just say, yeah, and you don't even, and then
Fitzgerald will be that guy next year, right?
this isn't that kind of year. This is a year for discussion and all the preconceptions, all the thoughts, all the debating. And then here's the last point I'll make. No matter who we put in, there, when that's announced, there will not be an applause for how well we did in putting those in. It will be, why did you not? What did you have against my guy? What did you have against this guy? Again, Nestor, I'll say it for the millionth time. I've got nothing against anybody. This is a who I thought should be in based on my research, my opinion, my hopefully expertise to make it. And then when you disagree with that because it wasn't your guy, that's why you disagree with it. And you'll call us names, and there'll be all this hullabaloo over that. Well, guess what? We're the ones who have the vote. We will do the best job we can to do it. I respect those who say we got it wrong, but I would respect it more if you'd at least look at it and say, yeah, maybe you did okay with this. Maybe you got it right. And the ones who love those people that got in, the fans of those players, are But
Don't
that's
get me started on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Sticks and some of the people not in there. Vic Carucci's here. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. You can find him out on the X and out on social media. Also at WGRZ. Want to give them some love up in Western New York as well as SiriusXM and a greater Buffalonian and a Hall of Famer and snow in the forecast. You know, I made a little joke because they were doing the cutaway on Sunday afternoon. I'm like, they're
yeah.
building the new stadium there. I'm surprised they ever got it done because it's costing them valuable tailgating space. Hey, stay warm on Sunday, and we got a great football game. You're always a great friend to the show. And after you put Suggs in the Hall of Fame, and after you win the Super Bowl, I'll come looking for you, and we'll yell some more about football. But it's always a pleasure to have you aboard. Thanks for everything you do.
Same here, Nestor. Take care.
Vic Carucci joining us from the greater Western New York, not North Tonawanda or Depew or Cheektowaga or Orchard Park or let's see, what I'm leaving one of them out, Lackawanna. Jaworski be upset with me if I do that. I am
Well,
Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Peace for the Peace Bridge in the Buffalo-Baltimore rivalry. It's going to be a great week for football here at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.